The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM each and every Saturday morning. We are live in the Spartan Studios in beautiful downtown overcast Grand Rapids. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. This is the show that's putting your meat in front of everyone else's.
That's right. And you know what? It's a great day to grill. Get out, fire up that grill, create a little grill envy in the backyard. We're having a little technical difficulty getting hold of Cowboy Rob Russell, so we're going to jump by that. I told you we'd come back with that. But, Bob, you made a little deep-fried cod with a beer batter on it this week that I don't think you knew how excited you were about that when you called me. But to tell me, hey, man, I tried this new thing, and it turned out fantastic. Share a little bit of that with us, would you?
That worked out really well. I sent Jordan over to Forest Hills Foods because it's the closest Spartan store to my house. They have really nice fresh seafood there, by the way. If you're looking for fresh seafood, that store has, every day they get fresh fish in there.
Right.
And when doing cod, especially since it's an Atlantic fish, it's got a bit of travel to go. So I really wanted to make sure that it was as fresh as possible. And I have this turkey fryer. So I just got a bunch of peanut oil. I got these beautiful, and these fillets were like the size of my forearm. They were just big, beautiful.
Thicker?
White, thick.
Yep.
I cut them in half.
Sure.
Because they wouldn't fit in that fryer. So I cut them into nice pieces, maybe into thirds, actually, as you think of it. And I took some, I had some of this biscuit mix from Gordon's Food Service, from GFS. And it's a really cool butter biscuit mix. It's awesome if you ever like making fluffy biscuits that are buttery flavored. It's got these little chunks of like a buttery, like Crisco or something.
Is that on your diet?
Oh, so good. None of this was on my diet, but it was Maureen's birthday, I don't know, Tuesday or whatever. So I wanted to have some friends over. I got all this cod in there. I took this biscuit mix, and I took a little bit of that crusty Cajun mix. It's
spice it up a little bit.
It's char crust, it's called.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful Cajun seasoning. And I poured about a third of a packet in with all that flour. And then I took some what we call pool beer.
Sure.
It's the cheap junk that your friends bring over. Not the good microbrewed stuff, but it's, you know, the tight wad brings it over and nobody drinks it.
Right.
So I got a bunch of it. So yeah. I took
There's more than one tight wad that comes over besides me?
Yeah. No, you bring good stuff. Well, you actually take the good stuff.
Yeah.
But I took two warm cans of beer, mixed it in with air, and let it set. Mixed it up. Let it set for about a half an hour. And the yeast in that beer really rose that biscuit mix up nicely.
That is a huge point right there. Is a lot of people would have mixed that up and just used it immediately, but letting that set for a half hour, that's like a great tip, because he's exactly right. The yeast in the beer reacts with the flour in the batter mix, and it became a little bit thicker and a little bit, what I would say, puffier, if you will.
And I had still some French fries left over from another party in the freezer, the big bulk bag. So I did up a big bunch of those French fries. And the first few pieces of cod that I put in that fryer got a little dark. So if you're used to doing, like, pouring a bag of something into your fryer, you got to be careful, because when you just put four or five pieces of fish in there, bang, they fry up in seconds.
Right.
You got to be on your guard. You better not be on your third pop there, because it's not going to work for you.
Right.
But, oh, my gosh, that Cajun seasoning in that biscuit mix with a beer batter and a beautiful piece of cod. By the time my second round of cod went in there, I mean, people were eating cod that didn't like fish.
Sure. Cod's a very mild fish, and when it's seasoned that well. But one of the things you just mentioned, Bob, is you put the first ones in there, and your oil was too hot. You got a new gadget that'll help us control that temperature, don't you?
I do. Is it time to go to the iGrill?
It is, baby.
Oh, okay. I have in my possession right here the slickest device ever known to grilling. Okay, this is almost as slick as a Tech infrared, but it's called the iGrill, and I'm actually doing a field test for the good people at iGrill. And right now, I have one of these probes not in the place that Randy mentioned.
Well, what's the temperature? Then we'll determine where it's at.
I've got it sitting on top of Brian Fonger's control tower here, which is a bunch of stacks of computers running all this stuff down here. And Brian's at 87 degrees, so your computers are running nice and cool there, Brian. I've got the other one over on the windowsill and that's giving me 71 degrees. This is on my phone, okay? I'm looking at the temperatures. Now, these two probes could have been on two pieces of meat in my grill in the backyard.
That's right.
Or one could be, you could drill a hole in your grill and run it at the top of your chamber and pick up your grill temperature and then put the other one in your meat. You can do whatever you want with it, but either way, that sensor and that unit are sitting out in my backyard or wherever.
Yeah,
it's
and you've got your
my phone.
You're right. You've got your phone in your pocket, so you can watch to see if what it is that you're grilling is getting over temperature or near done. Because again, where I see this might be good is somebody that doesn't have a real good feel for how their grill cooks. Maybe there's a hot spot here or there, but the guy that wants to make sure that he doesn't make his steak and that he loves medium rare into medium well, because this thing is accurate to the degree, and you put that probe in the center of the meat, and the fire doesn't burn the probe, but it sends a message back to your, and you can set alarms on that thing, I heard, where
yes.
It'll tell you when your meat is at a certain
time
temperature.
Right. Alarm. Now, I would differ with you in that one remark you made. I'm not going to use this for steaks because steaks get done so quickly. I don't use a temperature probe, and I'll probe one if I pull it off, if it's really thick, if I'm questioning it, but I'll just throw my digital on that one.
Okay.
This one's for when you want to walk away from your grill. This one's really for that long bake, for that low and slow, for that grilling that's going to take a while. A steak, you're going to be standing right there. Your buds are going to be with you. You're going to have a bloody in your hand. You don't want to hold your iPhone. It's just don't have enough hands.
Right. Well, you could set it on the grill table, too, but I get it. I get it because it's a monitor. It is.
It really is. It's for the longer run. So beautiful, though. It's called the iGrill. You can go online at iGrill.com. It's iGRILL.com. And I got to tell you, these people are really on to something. This software program, you can download your updates. I've got right now on my iPhone, I've got their app running, and I've got the instructions for it. I can pop up. I can get upgrades on the software. I hit another button, and it's the tools. Right now, I'm showing a graph of where my two temps are running.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys, 107.3 BBLFM, each and every Saturday morning. Bob's got a new toy, and he's kind of giddy with it over there. But I tell you what, it is a neat little device, and it'll help you produce much better food off your grill, because the key to any grilled food is not overcooking it, but making sure it's done to the temperature that you like. And this gadget, the iGrill, is one that will absolutely help you to do that.
That's right. It comes with two temperature probes, so you can monitor two different pieces of meat.
Right.
And hooks up to an iPhone. They don't have a Droid version ready yet, and I can understand why, because I just dumped my Droid.
Yeah.
The iPhone rocks.
Yes, it does.
So does the iGrill. There's my plug.
Yeah, speaking of other things that rock, Bob, we've got a rock shrimp kebab that you call Unleashed. You like this thing so well that I know you make it on a regular basis. So I enjoy shrimp on the grill. You want to talk about something that doesn't need a probe, that would be shrimp, because they cook in a minute or two when they hit the grill. And but this particular recipe, I know you make it for your family all the time, so tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's really one I just kind of came up with recently. It's not the old long-standing one. This is an improved version. So anyway, a couple pounds of shrimp deveined. I'm going to start off with a tablespoon of white horseradish, which I love horseradish in marinades and all kinds of things. One of the things we don't hit on enough, it's like a balsamic.
Right.
A couple tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, or you can use real lemon. Works just fine. Half a teaspoon of red cayenne. A small chopped onion, a cup of ketchup, a half a cup of parsley. This would be on the website. Garlic, olive oil. You mix all that stuff up in a bowl, and you throw the shrimp in there, and you refrigerate them overnight. Okay? Then you thread the shrimp onto skewers, and you brush with, you don't actually put the olive oil in there. You brush the olive oil on there right before you put the grill on the steak. Or you can throw the olive oil in the marinade and then have another couple tablespoons ready for the brushing. But either way, before those shrimp go on the grill, you have to baste them in oil.
Sure.
Because once you've grilled shrimp, you'll know why. Those little babies stick.
Right. They do. They stick to your grill.
Once they're
deveined. And the oil it makes it not stick to the grill, so your kebabs don't get left on the grill, but you get them onto the plate. Now, interestingly enough, Bob, you cook a lot with metal skewers rather than the wood ones that you'll get at the and I do too, and the reason, there's two reasons for that. One is they don't catch on fire. You don't have to soak them in water. If you are using the little wood skewers, soak them in water for 15-20 minutes because they'll draw in some of the water. If you don't, they catch on fire and your skewers fall apart.
You're skewed
Yeah, so but the metal ones, they obviously they don't burn, but two, they actually get hot and they'll help cook from the inside a little bit because you don't want undercooked food. Never a problem with the shrimp. They cook so well. But a little bit of that oil on there, keep it from sticking on your grill. It's a great tip. You need to try that. Don't put a lot of it on there because you don't want to change the flavor profile as much as you just want a little lubricant so it doesn't stick to the grill.
That's right. So, shrimp. Got to eat them.
You know what? Everybody loves shrimp. Not everybody, but it's one of my favorite things to grill because it's quick, it's easy. You take them off there. They
curl.
Right.
They curl up and they turn pink. That's how you know they're done.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what we have to do is get the boys in here from the Forest Hills Financial. When we get ready to do a little Cajun, we got to do a fish boil.
There again, that's another technique that you're using flame to cook food, and it is a boil, but you're going to go, you know what would be really good with that? You and Cowboy Rob next week are going to go out salmon fishing, and we could do some boiled salmon. I've done that, and then you cool it down, and it tastes just kind of like little chunks of lobster, because you dip it in cocktail sauce once it's been boiled and you cool it down. Ooh, really,
takes
really
that
good.
Funky salmon taste out of it.
It does. Yeah, you're leaving, there again, Big Paulie talked about that, but anytime you boil anything, you are taking the flavor and leaving it in the water and you're softening the flavor. So I don't particularly like to boil beef or pork because a lot of the flavor gets left in there. But what it does do, if you boil it, is it speeds up the grilling process because, in effect, you're partially cooking the item that you put in the water at a boil. So when you bring it out, you got less grilling time. I think it's a trade-off. If you don't have 4 or 5 hours to do a set of ribs, maybe you do want to boil it, and then you can just finish them on the grill in a half hour or 45 minutes. But personally, I think that leaves the flavor in the water, and you're not serving it on the table.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, what's coming up in the next segment there, big man?
Well, big man, we've got from our Spartan Studios, we're going to talk a little bit about our classic mistakes made when we're grilling.
Oh, we're going to talk to Don Erickson, too.
Yep.
And he's a friend of Dave Scheidel's from Scheidel Pool. We're going to get involved with the Bowtie Bar's 14th annual bike run. That'll be August 27th. We'll talk to him shortly.
Stick with us. We're the Grilling Guys. We'll be right back.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.